Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Taro International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Taro.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. With us on our newsmaker line is the president of the Iowa Restaurant Association, Jessica Dunker. And the reason we called Jessica and set up this newsmaker interview is because we've seen the spate of restaurant closings all across the metro. The latest casualty that we're aware of, anyway, was just this past weekend, Marlene's of Sevastopol Station, after almost 2 years of operation, decided to call it quits. And that marked, for our best guesstimate, about at least six restaurants that have closed in the past month, all locally owned. And Jessica, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Maybe we can figure out what's going on here. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michael.
So, all right, I don't even know where to start. You know, we have been opening up restaurants in this community at what I would consider a breakneck speed. Someone told me today that, yeah, we might have closed six restaurants in a month, but we opened 13.
That's true. And you and I have been talking about this for a little while, yes. That we've been worried about building really too many restaurant seats in the greater Des Moines area. And when the squeeze would come and we would start to see some of them close, and we really see them close on two sides of it. We see folks that are new that close and they just stay open for a short time. And then we see others that maybe have been around for a long time and get squeezed out actually by new things that come into the market. But this was actually not a set of circumstances that we were surprised as an industry to see.
Well, we've talked about this before, just the population here in the greater Des Moines metro. Now, I know we like to talk about how great this area is, and it is. There's roughly about 750,000 people in the greater Des Moines metro, or so the numbers would indicate. But then you have to, with all of the privately owned, very nice restaurants that we have here in town, and then all the chains on top of that, there just seems to be this plethora of places to eat. And we've often talked about, is that sustainable in the long run?
Well, part of what we're seeing is that as new developments come with strip malls or buildings are built, everyone wants to anchor with a restaurant or maybe two restaurants. You know, particularly in strip malls where you want a restaurant on either end of it, and in between you're happy if you get a nail salon, maybe a wireless store, an insurance agency. You know, as retail has really declined from the standpoint of storefront,
yes,
restaurants are really what draw people into buildings, shopping districts, entertainment districts. And so there has been a little bit easier capital available to people wanting to start restaurants. And so that's part of what we've seen drive this increase in the amount of development. On the flip side of that, you have to have the number of people to keep all of these restaurants open. And quite frankly, we have, in recent years, overbuilt in the greater Des Moines area.
Also, there's another issue, I think, that needs to be discussed. We are enjoying a relatively brisk economy. People are seemingly happy about what's going on in the metro and the area. But there are some of these restaurants that if you go out for dinner for two, that it's not unlikely that your bill's going to approach $120, $140. How is that segment of the industry working?
Well, no one wants to be considered a special occasion restaurant exclusively, because then people reserve their thoughts about you and their visits to you only for special occasions. Restaurants are really built on the idea that patrons return over and over to enjoy the food and the ambience and the service. And so we don't see a lot of growth or tremendous market potential for any restaurant that calls themselves only fine dining and only frames themselves from the standpoint of being a restaurant for special occasions.
Got it. One of the things that, and on the plus side, okay, we're coming into Valentine's Week. We had a story just the other day. 70 million individuals will visit their restaurant. That's a crazy number.
Yes. Well, that's one night that you don't mind being the special occasion restaurant. So we really encourage people to get those reservations made right now, today, and make sure that they're expecting you at your favorite place to be. Valentine's Day is one of the top holidays, obviously, for enjoying a meal out. And it's actually not number one. Mother's Day is number one.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, New Year's is right up there. But Valentine's always ranks in the top three.
When we look at the restaurant industry here, and I know that, boy, this is going to be having you, Jessica Dunker, ladies and gentlemen, from the Iowa Restaurant Association. This is going to have you looking into your crystal ball here for just a moment. But what works? When we're talking about restaurants, in your experience, as you look on this broad landscape, what tends to work?
Well, the things that we're really seeing work now are things that appeal to millennials. And millennials are a little bit different crowd, obviously, than the generations previous to them. They tend to prefer the limited service model, where it's very high-quality food, but not necessarily table service. Maybe you would order at the counter and a food runner might bring you your food or you would go and pick it up. They're very focused on global cuisine. They like very interesting foods. And we've talked about what does global cuisine mean for them. It doesn't mean Italian and Mexican and Chinese, because for them that's just
that's
food.
That's normal.
They've
stuff,
eaten
yeah.
that their whole life, right? So we see Portuguese, we see Cuban, we see things that are different, and also a heavy, heavy emphasis on craft and local, both in spirits and in food. So, you know, millennials are changing the landscape of the restaurant industry, and restaurants, you are starting to see that restaurants are responding in both food choices, menu choices, format choices.
Very interesting. You know, just the other day I was in the village of Windsor Heights, and I was talking to some people. There's a new restaurant going in there, and I said, so what is this? And they said, it's a Puerto Rican restaurant. So there you go.
Mm.
That's
yes.
that kind of a thing, isn't it?
Yes, it sure
wow.
is. And, you know, as we are more excited about trying new foods and getting out there and exercising the palates, entrepreneurs respond, and so I would expect that Des Moines will continue to see growth in very niche regional cuisines, niche global cuisines, niche craft brews, craft distilleries, all of the things that are local and interesting and unique. We just continue to see those be the places that there's growth and just not as much for chains.
Got it. Jessica Dunker, ladies and gentlemen, from the Iowa Restaurant Association, answering some questions that we've had now for some time, and really came to the fore over the past couple of weeks. Thanks so very much for being with us.
You have a wonderful day.
All right, you as well. Well, continuing with our news segment, when it comes to being the happiest city in the United States, Des Moines? Well, Des Moines comes in dead last. According to career site CareerBliss.com, they analyzed key factors that impact workplace happiness, things like workers' relationships with bosses and coworkers, the work environment, job resources, compensation, growth opportunities, company culture, company reputation, and daily tasks. In addition to positive workplace reviews, CareerBliss considers a city's employment, job opportunities, and salaries. And this just didn't make any sense to us, but this is what they say. Des Moines finished dead last, earning the title of the nation's unhappiest city for workers. Our capital city was followed closely by Knoxville, Tennessee, Greensboro, North Carolina, Omaha, Nebraska, and St. Petersburg, Florida. So what cities boast happy workers? Well, Career Bliss named Mountain View, California, the nation's happiest city for workers. That, of course, is in the heart of the Silicon Valley. Detroit, Boulder, Colorado, Richardson, Texas, and Stamford, Connecticut rounded out the top five happiest places. So what do you think? Are you really that unhappy, Des Moines? Come on. That smacked us upside the head, so to speak. Now, there's a new report that suggests that if the United States pulls out of the North American Free Trade Association, as has been suggested by President Trump, the move could cause a massive loss of jobs here in Iowa. How bad is it? The report suggests that Iowa could lose 19,300 jobs. That's about 70% of the jobs Iowa added last year. The hit to Iowa's economy could reach $1.2 billion, according to the study completed for Business Roundtable. That's a group of corporate CEOs that include Walmart, Boeing, JP Morgan Chase, and GM. The report also says that Iowa exports would drop by 28%, hammering the state's grain, meat, construction, and equipment industries the hardest. So what's going on with this? Well, the United States Chamber of Commerce, along with the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, and the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation, they're going to be hosting a meeting on NAFTA at the ABI building. That's the Iowa Association of Business and Industries tomorrow. We'll give you more after that. Speaking of taking a hit, today we learned that hundreds of workers in Iowa City will lose their jobs as a major employer shifts production to West Virginia. Procter & Gamble announced today it will move production of hair care and body washes out of Iowa City by late 2020. That move means 500 Procter & Gamble employees, about 40% of the company's total employment, they're going to see their jobs cut. And that's a big number anywhere. When we come back, a conversation with Lance Hansen from RE/MAX Concepts. We're going to be talking about home prices, interest rates, and more. That's coming up next here on the Thursday edition of the Business News Hour. Every time I think of you.